This is a special edition of Fresh Air about AIDS, and you're tuned to WHYY 91 FM. In a few minutes, I'll speak with a panel of medical experts about the AIDS epidemic and how to prevent contagion. Like the man we just heard from, many people with AIDS are unemployed because of their illness and have no health insurance. In their weak and vulnerable state, they have to learn to navigate the social service and medical bureaucracies. Because of unfounded fears of contagion through casual contact, the friends and family of some persons with AIDS are not always there to help. People with AIDS are sometimes treated like modern-day lepers. For these reasons, and because the needs of the person with AIDS are so overwhelming, a volunteer system was developed to help them. The volunteers, who call themselves buddies, assist with everything from house cleaning to filling out medical forms to serving as an advocate for the person with AIDS rights and for listening to their fears of dying. I spoke with Heshi Zinman, who for almost 2 years has been a buddy working with persons with AIDS, or PWAs, as many people now call them. I asked him why he decided to become a buddy.
I volunteered to be a buddy basically because I wanted to give something back to the community. And also for selfish reasons, because I realized that I put myself in the situation of being a PWA, and I thought, you know,
PWA is person with AIDS.
You know, if I was diagnosed with AIDS, what would I need? Okay, I would need companionship. I would need a buddy. I would need assistance as far as finding out what is available, financial assistance, public assistance. So, to give back to the community for all the positive things that I had gotten out of it, and just to help these people.
By the community, you mean the gay community?
Yes. Yeah.
Had you had friends who had AIDS?
I had two friends at that point, at the point that I volunteered, that had died from AIDS. And I have a couple of friends now that are dying from AIDS.
When you made a decision to be a buddy, seems to me it would be like making a decision to confront the reality of AIDS every day, as opposed to trying to forget about it or pretend it doesn't exist, or... was that a difficult decision to make? Because, you know, every time you visit someone who has AIDS, you're dealing with the reality of it.
You're dealing with the reality of it anyhow. You know, I am in a high-risk group, and living with the fear of AIDS is a day-to-day experience for me. So it was either sit back and worry about it, or sit back and worry about it and do something positive to help other people that were afflicted with AIDS. And that's what I decided to do.
What do you do when you're a buddy? What's the range of things that you do for a person with AIDS?
I think overall, you try to improve the quality of life. You provide companionship. You provide... I do chores, okay, if somebody... right now I have a buddy, and I do laundry every Wednesday. Wednesday is my laundry day. I actually allow his lover some free time to just do things for himself, okay, so that a lot of pressure is off his shoulders. And I guess provide companionship. That's the most important thing that I do right now. But overall, you do anything that you have to make life easier.
Are you assigned a person to work with?
Well, PWAs, okay, have to contact... if you are diagnosed with AIDS, you have to contact the task force and ask for assistance, okay? Once that happens, it goes through, you know, there's sort of, it's channeled, and it's given to team leaders, and then the team leader refers it to a person on their team.
Do you work with one person at a time?
Yeah. Yeah. I think more than one person's a little too much.
How many people have you been a buddy to?
I've had four buddies. Right now I'm working with one. I've had... I have one that has Kaposi's sarcoma that's that's fine. I mean, I don't think he's lost a day of work since he was diagnosed, which is usually the case with Kaposi's patients. But I guess actually I have two buddies right now, but one that I'm working with, I've had four altogether.
And have any of them died?
Two have.
My guest is Heshi Zinman, and he works as a buddy with people who have AIDS. How adequate has things like medical care, health insurance been for the people who you've worked with? And there is a real problem. Medical insurance is held mostly by people who are employed or who have a spouse that's got a full-time employment with good benefits. And if you don't have that kind of thing, or if you're a freelancer or you work part-time, you might not have health insurance. Has that been
a
problem?
Yeah, that's a problem, and it's my experience that most of the people that I've dealt with and that I know of that have had AIDS have gone the route of public assistance and medical assistance, and that is available. The thing that's frustrating about that is that there are waiting periods. Okay, for Social Security disability, there is a 5-month waiting period. I mean, you have to, let's say, for example, you have to be diagnosed and there's a 6-month waiting period. So for 6 months, you're sitting around and you don't have any money coming in. Medical assistance is almost immediate. I think, you know, time is the most important factor. If something takes a month for me, you know, to happen for me, that's fine. I have a month. For these people, a lot of times don't have the month to wait, and so it's real frustrating.
Your current buddy is, I think, on welfare.
Well, actually, the buddy I have right now had a very good job with a health facility in Philadelphia, and they have kept him on their insurance plan with full disability benefits and full medical insurance, which is just incredible. It really is. I did have a buddy that was on public assistance, and it was probably the most frustrating experience that I've ever encountered as far as working through the red tape of the system.
What were some of those frustrations?
Well, unfortunately, he did not live to see any of his long-term disability benefits. The system had an address, had two different addresses on him, and they were sending his checks to one address, and here he was in the hospital dying. And by the time you filled out 30 forms to verify that this was not your address and that this was your true address and that, you know, you'd never receive these funds, and it took some time. It took a couple of weeks, and he didn't have a couple of weeks. So when he when he died, the government owed some $7,000 to him.
As a buddy, have you had to provide services for people with AIDS that you think the larger social system should be providing, but they haven't been because of discrimination?
Well, I think a lot of the legwork that I've done has been involved with getting PWA's information on public assistance, getting forms filled out for them. A lot of the work that social workers within the system itself should be handling and are not adequately. I don't really know what the case is, but I don't think that it's being handled the way it should be. It's my experience that if you walk into a public assistance office and tell them you have AIDS, you will be rushed to the front of the line, not because they are sensitive to the fact that you have AIDS, but because they want you out of there quickly. They want you to fill out the forms and leave. I also personally have had, I had a buddy in a major health care facility in Philadelphia. He was in this hospital for, I'd say, close to 2 months, and on numerous occasions I tried to get the social worker, his caseworker, up to the hospital, up to his room to meet with him, and she always had one excuse after another for not going into his room. When I brought that to the attention of the task force, and when we actually looked into it, her records indicate that she had several visits with him at his bedside in the hospital. I know that is not the case. I know that for a fact. So, yes, there are all kinds of inadequacies and discrimination that go on towards people with AIDS in the system.
Two of your buddies have died, and you've continued to have other buddies afterwards. Is it traumatic for you? Because I'm sure you get close to someone when you're their buddy.
It's the first time it happened, I was devastated, because I think that I had this sense of, you know, I'm going to fight and I'm going to not allow it to happen. I'm going to do everything I can to not allow this person to die. And there's nothing you can do, and it's frustrating. I don't want to say that I've hardened to it, because I haven't. I hurt all the time, not only for the people that I work with, but for anybody that is diagnosed with AIDS. I just do it because I know that it has to get done. That if, you know, if the laundry doesn't get done by me, I won't say that it won't get done, but chances are it won't get done when it has to get done. And so I just do what has to get done, and I think that compensates for the sense of loss that you have at the end. You know, the fact that you just have to keep doing it so that the quality of life exists throughout the whole experience.
Is it difficult after you've lost someone to AIDS to start all over again and get a new buddy?
Well, it's been my experience that I sort of take some time off. The hard part for me is, you know, getting away from AIDS. This is something, you know, it's volunteer work. And I do as much as I can. And people have said, well, you know, you have to, like, get away. You have to spend a day, one day a week away from AIDS. I agree, except that I have friends that are suffering. So I could walk away from the task force on Thursday and go into my own life, and now I have to deal with my friends that have AIDS. So it's something, I mean, for me, it's inescapable, and I would venture to say that for most people in the community that have had close experiences with people with AIDS, it's something that's a daily living experience and very hard to get away from.
Do you have friends, though, who are trying desperately to get away from it and who are doing, you know, obvious things that are just obviously, you know, denial or repression?
Well, no. I do not have, you know, my close circle of friends. We've all been through the ringer as far as AIDS goes, and you know, to deny it at this point would be ludicrous. But there are a lot of people that are still denying that it exists and that have not had personal experiences with people that have died from AIDS and really don't know how devastating it is.
You're in the process of organizing a group called Persons with AIDS, PWAs. What would be the functions of the group? Why do you want to actually organize people who have AIDS into some, you know, kind of coherent unit?
There are certain needs, specific needs, that should be addressed, okay, concerning AIDS. There are all kinds of emotional needs that are being taken care of. There are all kinds of support groups for lovers of people with AIDS, families of people with AIDS. There is the day-to-day living that only a person with AIDS can deal with. Again, so much of the fight is positive mental attitude. And when you wake up every day and you have nothing to do, okay, it's real hard to keep a positive outlook on life. And so some of the things that we hope to address will be organizing a comprehensive AIDS information library. Okay, we don't have one in Philadelphia, and so we are going to do that. And I would like to see it staffed and organized by people with AIDS. Okay, there is this image that the community has of PWAs as victims. Okay. And it is that image that I want to work away from, and I want to get these people to be participants in the whole process.
You know, I just want to stop you for a second. I noticed that you call people who have AIDS PWAs, which is an acronym for people with AIDS, and you're intentionally, I guess, not using the term AIDS victim, which is the term that's frequently used to describe someone who has AIDS. Is this a common thing you don't want to call AIDS an AIDS victim?
Well, we're all victims. We are all victims, and we're all open to getting AIDS. I mean, everyone. It's passing over into the mainstream of society. So we potentially can all be victims, but it's that I guess it's that whole image of let's feel sorry for these people. They're dying and you know, making them piranhas, and we've got to get away from that because these people have reasons to live, okay? They have to hold out hope because there is a lot of research that's happening. And so if they organize, okay, and they address issues of daily, you know, living, of representing PWAs in media, like in print, in the newspaper, on TV, organize a library, recreational outings, getting them involved in the training of buddies for support services. Okay, this is you're getting them to participate in the whole process, and you're sort of helping them to have a reason to wake up every day.
Has it been a politicizing experience for you to A, be involved in this kind of organizing, and to be looking at how people are reacting to AIDS and to people who have AIDS, you know, and yeah. has all that politicized you in a way?
Actually, I think that the social and psychological and political ramifications of this plague are, for me, the most frightening.
What are they?
Well, I am not that naive to think that quarantine camps can happen. My background, I grew up in a house where from the time I could understand what I was reading or comprehend what I was looking at, I heard all about the Holocaust and Germany and concentration camps. And I mean, this was part of my experience growing up in a Jewish household. And you know, I've given thought to these trucks pulling up outside my apartment house and knocking on my door and saying, you know, Mr. Zimmern, you know, you're gay. You tested positive for the HTLV-3 virus and come with us. You know, people might think that I'm taking it a little too far, but I think that it can happen. I think that this whole plague has been a cause celeb for fundamentalist right-wingers in this country, and there are so many people out there casting stones at people with AIDS, at the gay community. I mean, it's one more reason, okay? It's one more reason, or it's more proof that we have a deviant lifestyle, and this is the price that we're paying, and that's, I don't buy it. But I think that the marketing appeal of this mentality is a real positive force, and that it could happen. And so it's issues like quarantine, identification cards that are real frightening to me.
Have you changed your life or your view of life being exposed to death and illness?
Yes. Life's very important, and I really have come to treat day-to-day living as if it's my last day, and I want to make the most of it. I've come to regard relationships with people as the most important part of my living experience. And I'm very fortunate that my close circle friends have been very supportive of me. And there are times when I can call up any number of people and rant and rave and cry and scream, and they're right there patting me on the back. And I'm very fortunate to have the friends that I have. And I just think that my overall outlook of people and relationships and interacting with other people has really grown to be very important to me, much more so than ever before.
If anyone listening wanted to become a buddy, what should they do?
They should call up the Philadelphia AIDS Task Force, Philadelphia Community Health Alternatives, and express their desire, you know, an interest in becoming a volunteer. There are different branches of the Philadelphia AIDS Task Force. I happen to be a volunteer buddy for support services. There is also fundraising, education, public relations, advocacy. So there's a lot of things that you could be doing for the task force if you wanted to volunteer.
Is anybody welcome? And I ask specifically because people might think that, you know, you have to be like part of the gay community.
No,
not at all.
Anybody
work in this?
Anybody, please. You want to volunteer? Volunteer. We need volunteers. It's a massive responsibility. It's a massive task, and there before the grace of the task force goes nobody. And, you know, it's not a perfect volunteer organization, but it's the only organization, and I think we do a pretty good job at doing what we're doing.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
That was Heshy Zinman, who works as a buddy and is organizing a local chapter of Persons with AIDS. If you want to find out more about buddies or the new group PWAs, you can call the AIDS Task Force, and this is the number to call for any information from the AIDS Task Force. It's 732-AIDS, 732-AIDS.